Welcome to the Voice of Experience. Let's make your brand shine brighter than ever before. Here are your hosts, Elke Jones and Max Linderman.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Voice of Experience. It is our favorite time of year, Max, our favorite time of year.
It's the time of the year where we talk about metrics.
I was going to say, maybe it's project scoping and retainer negotiation, but no.
No, we're talking about something much, much better that comes out every single year.
You're right.
That's
about
what we're
that.
Talking about, right? Every single year.
Just like your birthday, every year. GMR just published our annual brand experience index, and this year's report is full of new takeaways and provocations about why unforgettable experiences are the holy grail for brands.
Yeah, I feel like one of those things where as an agency that talks about the power of memorability, you know, the BS that we throw around on this podcast is a lot of it is theoretical. What I love about the GBI and every year, how much rigor goes into it is that it's actually analytical, right? It's science based. It's numbers based. It's basically theory proven out in the field, in the marketplace.
And we love science, don't we, Max? We talk about it.
You love science. I like to talk about it.
Oh, well, okay. So basically, I'm the nerd in this duo. Totally fine. So a question
I'm happy
for brand.
With that. I'm happy with that
okay.
casting.
Yeah. Fair enough. Okay. Question for the brand marketers out there. If your brand disappeared tomorrow, would anyone remember the moment they met it? So just think about that. Because our conversation today is built around memory as the metric for brand success and what our annual index has taught us about unforgettable experiences. So you mentioned science. I love science. And so the first thing we're going to talk about is the neuroscience of experience. And the takeaway here is that we've talked about this before, but multi-sensory engagement creates stronger memory hooks. So with that as the backdrop, why do we think brands still prioritize visual spectacle over full sensory immersion?
You know, I think you have the science behind that answer. For me as a diehard marketer, it's probably the easiest, right? In terms of like the visual spectacle is something that both from an art form and from like the technology that surrounds us is probably the most kind of like accessible, right? Is the least hoops to go through. But I'm curious why you think that, because you and I know that there's so many other things that have equal, if not greater, power in terms of memorability. Like, and I know you push for it. Like, what do you hear back from when you start thinking about, you know, audio or smell or like touch? Like, what's the feedback you get?
Well, I think, you know, again, kind of reverting back to science, it's a simple equation, which is more senses, more memory. And the more sensory channels you give the brain, the more likely things are to stick. As far as why more brands don't take advantage of full sensory immersion, you know, I think you were kind of sniff around that a little bit, and that's it. Full sensory immersion is hard.
Yeah,
it's overlooked. It requires a different strategy, and I think sometimes there's this misperception or misconception, rather, that you don't get the reach or the scale. And we know that that's entirely not true. There's plenty of opportunities for amplification and to scale based on a, you know, full sensory brand moment.
What have you ever come across in your career? Because I'll tell you in mine, I haven't. For an RFP, for any kind of brand experience, for an RFP that literally said, we want this to be multi-sensorial, but
never.
Not really, right?
Never.
Wow. That's weird.
That bums me out.
I know we should be that, you know, honestly, that should be one of those questions that goes back to an RFP is like, you know, when they say like, hey, do you have any questions?
Oh, the Q&A.
Like, the Q&A. Like, yes, number one, well, how come you are discounting 93% or whatever it is of sensorial like stimulation that your brain can occupy?
We need to start doing that. I think that's a fantastic question to lob back during that process. I'd be curious to see the answers to that. So let's, you and I, let's make sure that we start doing that. Designing for the why. So our report this year, all of our learnings tells us, well, I should say it supports some thinking that already exists from GMR, which really highlights the importance of need states and experiences that tap into these immutable truths. Identity, belonging, enrichment, and release are more memorable. And we know why that's important and it's critical to the brand experience. But curious from like your perspective, what need state do you think most brands ignore?
Between identity, belonging, enrichment, and release.
Yeah.
To me, it's like a little bit of a tie, but probably more the tiebreak is release. And the reason it's between identity and release, I think, feels a little bit light in the richness of where you can play. I think belonging and enrichment, you know, the shorthand for enrichment is learning something new or, you know, kind of like experience something new, like, you know, like expanding. And so there's a lot of opportunities for that. Release to me like is sort of shorthand and it's for like, you know, getting your yayas out, you know, but I think there's so much more to release than that. Like, you know, like it's interesting, like as I kind of think about it, maybe it's end of day kind of like ennui, but like a good cry is a release, right?
Max,
like
you're right.
An incredible like belly laugh is a release. You know, sometimes, you know, getting thrown on a mat is a release. And I think a lot of marketers just look at release as just kind of like fun and like, you know, like loud or sport or woo-woo.
Yeah,
but there's so much more to it than that. You know,
I think you're exposing something that, again, is a bit of a misconception around release. I think release, you automatically think of yayas or love that. It also can mean downshifting. That sometimes is how you refill your battery, right? And
correct.
It doesn't always need to be this like really sort of dynamic, high octane moment. Sometimes release is just like, I need a minute, you know? And there's brands that understand that. We'll talk about that in a second. Let's talk about thrill. You know, as we're talking about release, it makes me want to talk about another takeaway from the report, which has to do with competition and how oriented we are as humans to competition because it heightens emotional arousal and memory retention.
Hmm.
So I start thinking, like, is winning the new emotional currency in brand activations?
Well, do you game? Do you compete? Like, do you
pickle? I do.
Okay, so
all those.
So tell me how it makes you feel.
God, it makes me feel like powerful.
Yeah, yeah.
It makes me feel like
repeatable.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's something about that, and I'm curious. Okay, so then you travel all over the world, right? And you actually like live all over the world, not just travel all over the world. You find yourself with, you know, speaking different languages on different buses, and like I'm just curious. Do you think that's an American trait? Like I feel like you do see a lot of gamification in marketing. Whether it's, you know, kind of like actually experiences to more like sweepstakey things, you know, every time you see an athlete, there's some sort of like a one of one or, you know, there's a get to get. Right. So there's an inherent sense of competition. Do you think that's like us?
No.
And because no, you think it's
I don't.
It's
I think
human?
I think it's a human thing. I think it's a really, really human thing. And let me talk about a little case study. This is something that we saw this year, which kind of makes the point. And it was a really cool collab between Nike and the NBA. And they, I feel like, used a bunch of these unmet needs to fuel memory. And they leaned into this offering, or leaned into this idea of competition by offering these high stakes prizes, like unreleased sneakers, but it was all based on like different types of high score competitions. And those things, like, they just light up this reward to memory pathway in our brains. Yeah. And that feels like a human thing to me.
I think, correct me if I'm wrong, and this is the theory part. And there's obviously, we can put it on a dashboard and maybe next time we could even pull it up. But I feel like there's a number of need states in play here that, like, the fact that Nike and the NBA can also pull an identity lever, right? Like, in that a select few would be able to understand how coveted a shoe is. And amongst that select few, there's already, from a collector standpoint, from a, you know, first to know kind of like first drop kind of standpoint, there's already competition. Like, this is just like fuel to the fire around someone who isn't a passionate fan of either the NBA or Nike would kind of shrug. But because there's a connection to those brands and a connection to what those brands and the kind of access they can give, that it just like takes it through the roof.
It's very cool. It's very cool. So you taught, shoes, unreleased, exclusive, money can't buy, mementos or keepsakes. Those are also memory reactivators. And one of the takeaways, again, from this year and all of our studies is that personalized takeaways extend the brand experience beyond the moment. So one of the things that we interrogate as part of our data collection process is the stickiness of swag. And, you know, what are the things that you're going to still have 3 months from now, a year from now? You know, is it in the kitchen drawer? Is it in the box in the attic?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and how you create that tangible, tactical thing that when you see it, when you touch it, when you use it, it will take you back to that moment. Again, creating that memory. Do you think as we are becoming more and more digital in creating more digital experiences, we're kind of giving up the power of physical mementos? Like, is there a solution for that in your mind when it comes to like a digital experience? Is there a proxy for that?
Yeah. I mean, to me, you in your preface or like an explanation about like memento and how it drives memorability, I think the intention of that has changed. Where, you know, I think in the beginning, like the memento was like a tchotchke with a brand name on it, right? That you, to your point, like maybe it was if the brand had a little bit of equity or if not irony, then you would use it and, you know, not put it in the kitchen cabinet, you know, with another koozie or whatnot. But I think now, like the notion of how a brand can embed itself in memory through something tactile has changed through like more use of IP, right? So the brand is not like on a object. The brand is like objectified, you know, or collabed with in order to create something a lot more kind of like valuable or a lot more like equitable in the market, so to speak. So I think we're learning a really big lesson in how much emphasis we put into the beginning of an experience or the beginning of, like, you know, the first impression, so to speak, the largesse or the spatial awe, and how little up to now we've really looked at what that memento is, right? And not just as a tchotchke, but really as a memento, like is like something that if you went to Venice, you'd probably, like, something that spoke to you, you'd keep it on your mantle. I don't know. Do you have a mantle? Who has a mantle? I don't know. I'm making
Max,
stuff up now.
Snow mantles, you know, over here.
All right, like a
okay.
snow globe. Like you bought a snow globe and now you want to show it to friends. And
sure.
you're like, yo, that was a great snow globe. If we can get to those kinds of experiences where the memento is commensurate with the experience and has that kind of like value to it, then we're getting somewhere.
Yeah.
I think it's just putting attention to it and really, really looking at it from a much more strategic way. When we look at through a memory play, it makes the most sense in the world. We'll always talk about high-end or valuable mementos over swag. The stickiness of swag.
We're gonna
make a T-shirt of that. The stickiness of swag. Like, I think we need to have swag, like, so sticky. It's not sticky enough in the market.
Or to your point, it gets replaced with something that's a different type of memory cue. And I've got a great example and perfect setup. It's almost like you knew I was going to talk about this. But a cool example, again, from something we saw this year, and it was Comcast Xfinity and their WrestleMania activation. And they created, and they were personalized, these wrestler entrance videos where they turned fans into stars. And it was probably the most coveted, desirable engagement within WrestleMania, because who doesn't want that? And who wouldn't look at that and keep that and share that and send that and save that? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like they...
Wait, so it's like you do the walkout? Like, they capture the walkout the way that, like, a WWE wrestler.
But you're the wrestler. Yes.
Oh, my
right?
God. That's so,
so
cool.
So good.
Wait, so, but that's... Okay, we're both proving each other's point here, right? Because that must have taken a lot of effort. Like, that's not like a photo, you know, like you're standing at a step and repeat,
right.
And like, yay, we were at this thing. Or it's not even like a AR photo where like you're like, yay, we're like in, you know, Tetris or like this was they built something that replicated something amazing. And that was the takeaway. And I think that's what I mean by like, over index on the memento, you know, like go big.
It's great. Love it. Okay. We talked about this a little bit earlier, but I want to dip in a little more. And this idea of, you know, release and like maybe not always understanding fully what that is. And it feels a little bit like a layup maybe for a brand. Like everyone wants to... I keep coming back to the yah-yahs. I keep coming back to the yah-yahs, man.
I hear, like, for some reason, I have, like, Keith Richards in my head saying, yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Okay. But replenishment as a strategy. And the takeaway from this year's report is that supporting self-expression through comfort and care creates lasting impressions. So not everyone's looking, again, to, like, amp up the moment. Sometimes it's just... I need to feel good. I need to reset. And so wondering, you know, because traditional activations, like back in the day when you and I both started in the biz in the 1800s, you know, it was about getting your yah-yahs going or whatever. And quiet activations weren't a thing. But now, you know, could those types of experiences be more powerful than those traditional activations?
I think that brands are, and I'd love to get your perspective on it because you see so many RFPs. I think that there's a enhanced self-awareness amongst brands that sometimes like nuance is much better than, you know, shock or yah-yahs, right? Like they understand.
This is like, going to be titled the yah-yah episode.
Yeah, the yah-yah. No, but like, don't you, like, what do you think? Like, I mean, I just think that culture has given us space for that reflective moments. And I think people starting to crave it. And I think brands who are sort of brave enough to not take the spotlight to be enablers rather than the ringleaders, like, you know, or like, you know, hospitality, unreasonable hospitality of being in the background.
Yeah.
Those brands, I think, can occupy that space in really interesting ways. But I'm curious, like,
well, let me tell you about a brand.
Way, right?
Yeah. Let me tell you about a brand that I think understood the right way to do this. It was very true to their purpose, and it's the brand method. And they were at Coachella, which is, you know, you're overstimulated at Coachella. You're in the desert. You're full of dust and dirt. It's loud. It's hot. You're dehydrated. And then you walk into this method experience at Coachella, which is like the perfect temperature. And they're offering all these different experiences, like micro experiences that support both replenishment. So being able to freshen up and everything from like lotions and soaps and bubbles and those things. But then they also like pressed into self-expression. So it was, you know, sparkles and makeup and all these things to sort of, I would say, supplement your, you know, because Coachella is all about like the outfit, right? Like the look and the vibe.
Yeah.
And so they provided an opportunity to even make that like your vibe better, I guess, for lack of a better way of saying it. But it lived up to their core promise, which is about looking good starts with feeling good. And it was a very refreshing experience. And again, it not only did it hit the mark, it was incredibly popular because people needed that moment. They needed it desperately, you know, like I just need a minute to regroup.
Yeah. And it's, you know, kudos for a brand like Method, but totally on brand for Method, right?
So good.
For like just being very nondescript in its own importance. You know, and allowing kind of like, because it's a pretty petty to have a large space that creates serenity at Coachella, right?
It was beautifully designed.
You need the real estate. Yeah, exactly.
It smelled good. Every room smelled good. Like that is no easy feat at Coachella. People are sweaty and stinky. And so anyway, last thing I want us to talk about, which is Experience EQ and Soul Science. And that's our proprietary capability and really understanding the consumer better than anyone and the needs that they have and how to design experiences to meet those needs based on memorability. And the insight here is that it takes a blend of psychology, data science, and cultural insight to really understand what a consumer needs and how a brand can meet or exceed those needs. So a couple of like, I'm just going to give you two questions because these are kind of big questions that I think are interesting. The first one is, do you think we're sort of at the point in creativity, this sort of cycle of creativity with the rise of AI, that creative teams should be trained in neuroscience?
I mean, short answer is as much as a really good creative team is trained in digital arts or, you know, kind of augmented realities, like you don't have to be a PhD in it, but you sort of need to understand commercial creativity and how it works, right? So I mean, even back in the day, now I'm really a dinosaur, but there was a book by Marshall McLuhan called, I think it was The Medium is the Message, right? Which was very much a way to look at communications and media through a scientific and neuroscience lens. I love, when I teach at CU, for instance, I love bringing up neuroscience because younger people understand it because, you know, on weekends, they dabble in neuroscience all the time. And I think for them to kind of like, you know, become a lot more self-aware in the same way that they are becoming a lot more self-aware around mental health, around just body health, right? Like it's just around what is out there and what is being talked about in culture. I think we have to be aware of that because it is just as much of a conversation for us to understand the world as it is an aperture or a way in or a point of differentiation to look at communications, to look at creativity. So really long answer.
I love that.
I apologize.
No, it's great.
But like, I think you have to like, but as a strategist, would you want a creative to like, kind of like come at you and be like, man, I just want so much oxytocin flowing to through my audience when I do this. Like, I kind of like, isn't that like shorthand for like, I kind of feel what you want to do with this, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Yeah, it's interesting. We can take this one and bat that back and forth a little bit the next time we're in a room together, which I feel like is every 15 minutes. But interesting, nonetheless, to think about that as a future opportunity. Last question, and this is a rhetorical question, so I'm just going to leave it at this, but it kind of goes back to what we were saying in the beginning, and you nailed it, Max. What if the actual creative brief or the client brief started with a memory goal instead of a traditional KPI? I would love to think that we could get there.
I mean, isn't that what we're trying to do? Yeah. Like, you know, isn't like the soul science is really trying to, you know, I'm not going to say solve the same problem, but really address the same goals, but through a completely different lens. And the more and more as neuroscience catches up, as data science catches up, as AI and large language models allow us to crunch the data, right, and work with the data in order to prove or disprove certain kind of, you know, theories of whatnot, more than our bullshit, but like real theories, the more it points to that it does require a different lens.
I think
so. The world is getting way too, okay, dinosaur, when we got into the industry, someone said, and I was blown away. We got into the industry, there were 6,000 messages a day that were being, and like, this was like, you know, web 1.0 and into like a little bit into social. Okay. Today, 36,000 messages a day.
Oh God, that bums me out. That's depressing.
And it should, because think about all that mental space that memories are no longer occupying.
And
right?
Everything that we're rejecting along the way.
Correct. The filter is crazy. Like, what we have to do as marketers is it's almost like a moral imperative for us to create more memories.
Yeah. Yes. I will double down on that times infinity and love that. So let's close it down. In a world saturated with experiences, what truly lasts are the memories we create. And memory making isn't just a byproduct of a moment. It's the emotional imprint that transforms fleeting interactions into lifelong connections. For those listening, visit gmrmarketing.com to download the full 2025 GMR Brand Experience Index report. And Max, I love talking about memory making with you, and I hope we get to do it. I know we will, because we talk about it all the time. Another great chat. I appreciate
it. It was amazing. I appreciate you too. This was like the GBI is legit.
It is.
And it really does deserve the attention because it is a really, really interesting way to approach what we do. And I just love it. So
That's
thank
right.
you for putting it out into the world.
Of course. Thank you. And till next time.
Till next time.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
The Voice of Experience is produced by GMR Marketing, an Omnicom experiential group agency. All content is the property of GMR Marketing. Join us next time for more knowledge, data, insights, and secrets of the art and science of making brands unforgettable. For more information, contact us at gmrmarketing.com.